First of all, I'd like to thank Soy, Isaac Katia, David Drury, Alex Kagan. I apologize if I left anybody out for putting together a whole day of Limud HaTorah with different shiurim, different options throughout the day. Yashkoach to you on your efforts. I'd also like to give a yashkoach to all the Talmidim here that you've chosen to spend the last couple of days of the calendar year learning yeshiva, steiging here. Our yeshiva is clearly much richer for your efforts, so shkoyach for being here. Tonight, I'd like to discuss for a few moments that we have together what the role of imagination has within our Avodas Hashem. Imagination? Yeah, imagination. Is imagination the tool of the Yetzer Hara? Or is it the tool of the Yetzer HaTov? What role does it play? I'd like to start first with a well-known Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph that tells the famous story of Rabbi Elazar ben Dehudaya. Just to quote some excerpts from the story, Amru Olav Rabbi Elazar ben Dehudaya. It said about this Rabbi Elazar ben Dehudaya, Shlo Niach Zona Achas Ba'olam Shlo Ba'alea. He was a philanderer. And there was no woman in the world, no zona that he wasn't with. One day he finds out there's yet another person. And so he goes out and seeks her out and finds her. Bashas Helgel Dover Hificha. And at the time, Bashas Osa Maisa, Bashas Aveira, he passes gas. Amra. And the zona says to him, she gives him Musar. Shh. Kashem Shafika Zu Eina Khazaris Lumakoma Kachalazab in Dudaya Aim Kablam Sobis Shuva. Just like that, those gases don't ever return to its source, so too Rabbi Elazar ben Dehudaya will never be Zocha to a tshuva. Halach, what does he do? He goes. Vayasha bin Shnei Hari Mugvos, he sits between mountains and hilltops. Amar, and he cries out, Harim Ugvos Bikshulai Rachamim. The mountains, so strong and mighty, beg for mercy. And they say, we can't help you. So he turns to Shemayim Va'aretz Bikshulai Rachamim, the heavens and earth. The heavens so lofty, the earth so solid. Cry out for me. Ask for mercy on my behalf. And they say, we can't help you. Amar Kamu Levana Bikshulai Rachamim, he turns to celestial bodies, to the sun, and to the moon, and he says, cry out for me, sun and moon. They say, we can't help you. V'chule, v'chule, he turns to the kochavim, the mazalos, v'ksholei rachabim. Same answer. We can't help you. And he finally turns to himself, and Omar, ein adover tol el bi, it's up to me. Hiniach rosho ben birkov, v'gob v'chiyash yotso nismaso. He cries and he cries and cries until literally his neshama leaves him. And Abbas goes out and says, Rabbi Elazar ben Dehudaya, Mezumen l'chaylam haba. Rabbi Elazar ben Dehudaya has a share in the world to come. And the obvious question is, what changed? What happened? He lived his whole life, a life of just wild abandon, a life of znus. He knew who he was. And he had an embarrassing moment. So it's an embarrassing moment. Embarrassing moments don't usually have the greatest epiphanies in the world where we change our whole lives around. What is it that captured him that so much changed? And I'd like to go back to our original question and discuss what is it, what role does the imagination play? Again, is it the tool of the Yetzer Hara or is it a tool of the Yetzer HaTov? And when I first think about imagination, the first image that comes to mind, I think about a young boy perhaps sitting in class, teachers up front, teaching, could be Torah, could be secular subjects, doesn't matter either way. And the kid, he has like, you know, a glassy look in his eye, a far out stare, and if we could peek into his mind, he's not listening to the teacher. He's off in Never Never Land. He's in his imagination, he's some superhero fighting bad guys. He's some spaceman flying around the cosmos. And he's out there. That's his imagination. And as we grow older, our imaginations grow with us. They get a little more complex. They get a little more vivid sometimes. And we have all sorts of wild dreams and imaginations. We dream about the house we might live in. We have an image of the car we drive, the job we have, the community we live in. We have the image of who we're going to hang out with. We have a certain drive to be with certain people, to hear certain things, to watch certain things, to live a certain way. Not all the time is it so yashar, to be so straight. Sometimes these images are images of things that we should be avoiding, and they drive us, they compel us. And you know, often when you taste the forbidden fruit that you've been thinking about so much, it's really not as great as you thought it would be. I remember once driving into YU late at night, and I was listening to an interview on the radio with a man named Mr. Shin. And he was one of the very, very few people to ever escape from a North Korean labor camp. He was born and raised there, and those places are mamish Gehenna on earth. There's deprivation and starvation and torture on a daily basis. And he knew nothing different. This was his life. He was born and raised in this terrible condition. But one day, a new prisoner was introduced into the camp. And they happened to be positioned near each other when they were working. And this guy who came to the camp, he knew the outside world. He didn't grow up there. And in this arena of starvation and deprivation, he starts talking to this Mr. Shin, and he starts describing to him the wonders of the outside world. Never did this guy ever think about going to the outside world. And you know what he describes, you know, when you're really, really hungry. So the thing that most stood out in this man's mind, who tasted the good life, he started to describing him the succulent meats, the sumptuous meals that he had, in great detail. And this Mr. Shin, not in his wildest dreams, ever thought of anything of this. I mean, what they ate nothing. They used to catch rats and roast them. That was their food. And now he was dreaming these wild thoughts of such food. It would be so delicious. And for the first time, he thought about, I will escape from here. I must taste these delights. He was totally enwrapped in it. And he was willing to risk life and limb. No one escapes. No one escapes. You're killed. But he does manage to escape. And he tastes his fruits of what he desires. That meat, he finally gets to it. He gets to the meat and he tastes it and it is good. And a few hours later, he's left empty. And he realizes it wasn't caught up. It wasn't what it was chalked up to be. It goes away very quickly. But does that stop it? No. Even when the reality is our dreams are never as exciting as we make them up in our mind, but when we live in our mind, when we're connected to the dreams, they don't have to be part of reality. The dreams aren't reality. They keep you going back, and in your mind to be something else. It's more exciting. My life will be so special. I will be so happy. This will make me feel so good. And you still think about it. It's regardless of the reality. La'abdil, you have the gambler, or you have the addict, or whoever it is, and they keep going back. And they think the high is going to be so special, even if their lives are a shamble. And this is the koach. This is the koach of imagination. This helps us understand the Gemara in Shabbos and Mirtz Hashem. We will learn this year on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara Shabbos quoting from Matos, the parsha of Matos. It says, "Vayksof Moshe al pikudei achoyel." Moshe gets angry. He gets angry at the officers of the armies who are leading the war against Midian. He sees that they are bringing karbonos, as Rashi explains. And he says, why, Moshe Rabbeinu said, why bring karbonos? What do you need kapara for? Ulai chazartem lekilkelchem. Maybe you have returned to your old bad ways in the same way that you were with the Benos and Boav. Maybe perhaps now you've done that again. And they answer him, no. No aver, we didn't. No one did any averus. So what then? They said, well, here who aver we still had. The dreams, the desires we still had. And for that, we need a kapara. They didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do anything. They need a kapara. The Gemara says in Sotah and Chavtesim and Aleph, Gemara says, Kasha, Huhure Aveira Me Aveira, that the Huhurim of the Aveira are harder. They're worse than the Aveira themselves. Worse than the Aveira themselves. Because yes, as we've described, when you live in the world of that Aveira in your mind, so it's not just a Maisa. You did a Maisa, so you can try to fix a Maisa. But in your mind, when it's all about the Maisa, when it's all about the things, when it's all about what you want, the Lashon Hara, the lack of Yashrus, the extra dollar, the forbidden images, what it's all about, it's in your mind, and it's not just a maisa, it's like putting a band-aid on an open wound. And you come back to it, and you come back to it. That's what Yirmiyahu cries out to Bnei Yisrael. Yirmiyahu says, Vayilchu acharei hevel. And Klal Yisrael went after vanity, after nothingness. But you know what the travesty is after going after the hevel? It's Vayebalu, says Yirmiyahu. You become the vanity. You become the nothingness. That's your life. Your dream is who you are, and you are the dream. And it's not just about maisim anymore. Maybe you could try to fix a maisa here, a maisa there. But it's the dreams that need to be fixed. It's the dreams that are off. And that's much harder to extricate yourself from. So, indeed it seems, imagination is the tool of the Yetzer Hara. So what do we do? How do we combat this? I think the beginning of the answer of Simcha Zissel, the Altman Kelm, teaches us, at least the beginning here, is that we have to fight fire with fire. Says Rav Simcha Zissel, HaHefresh ben HaTzadik LaRasha, the difference between a tzadik and a rasha is Rak Koach HaTzior, the ability for a person to hone and develop their ability to imagine. To imagine a way where you control it. To imagine thoughts of lofty thoughts, of greatness, of unbelievable pictures, as the Kuzari says in the Maimar Shlishi, the Kuzari says, you know what a chassid does? A chassid is matil, es hakoach hadimyon, lahavir neged einav. The chassid, he puts in front of his eyes his imagination. He puts in front of his eyes imagination. What does he imagine? What is this chassid think in his mind? As hachozos hanedorim biyoser, the most lofty images that he can think of. Mamad Har Sinai. He thinks of the great Mamad Har Sinai. You know how he does that? He goes to a Siyam Hashas and he sits with over 90,000 other Yidden. And he imagines, oh my gosh, can you imagine what Har Sinai was? Look, as far as the eye can see, there's people surrounding me, all celebrating Torah. Can you imagine what Har Sinai was? And when everyone calls out to the Siyam Hashas, Yehei Shmei Rabbah, he thinks for a moment, wow, can you imagine what the Kolos Ubrakim Har Sinai was? How powerful that moment, 1,000 times over this. And he uses his memory to conjure up images of greatness, says the Kuzari. And he thinks about Avram and Yitzchak at the Akedah. How powerful the emotions must have been at that time. The mysterious nefesh going into there. The love between a father and a son. And he thinks about that and he conjures up that thought in his mind. And it propels him forward to greatness. Says to Kuzari, he thinks about the Shechina resting in the Beis HaMikdash. A few years ago, I was zocheh to go to Eretz Yisrael. And I went to the Ir David, the exhibit. And they showed this 3D video. I never really saw anything in 3D before. It's really vivid. It's like really real. And they had an image, a depiction of the Beis HaMikdash and a cloud of glory hanging over with fire and lightning shooting out. And it blew me away. And I thought for myself, can you imagine what it would be like to live in the shadow of the Shekhinah like this? I walked out of there saying, every kid in every school has got to see this video. It's incredible. It was inspiring. Says the Kuzari, these are the thoughts that have to be in our minds. We have to think about that. These have to be images, lofty images, that propel us forward. You know, if a person thinks, I'm going to spend the whole night wasting time on the internet, and it's going to be great, it's going to be very relaxing, it's going to be very enjoyable. How do you combat that? What image in your mind do you have to call up? And you have to think about the Mishnah, it says, how sweet and pleasurable is Olam Haba compared to anything this world can give me. A momentary relaxation in this world, it can't compare to the peros that I can reap in Olam Haba. I can't waste my time. If a person is thinking of saying a shtickle lashon hara, it's such a sweet lashon hara. Oh, it's going to be so gishmak. If I tell this over to my friends, everyone's going to love this. It's going to be great. I have to say it. And then they think in their mind for a moment they have an image that I'm a Yedid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm a beloved of Hashem. I'm a confidant of Hashem. I want Hashem to trust me with His secrets. Then how can I not stop myself from saying things I shouldn't say? From letting go of things I shouldn't let go? I'll lose the trust of my best friend. I can't. I can't do it. As great as it would feel and great as it would be, I can't ruin the trust. That's greater. I want to share with you an unbelievable image to me anyways. The Reishis Chachma, a Talmud of the Marak, he quotes from the Zohar an unbelievable image. Quoting from the Parsha, Mishpatim, the Pasuk says, V'chim kor ish espito la'ama, if a father sells his daughter as a maidservant, lo seisei kitzei savodim, so she does not go free like a common servant. Right? If it turns out that this maidservant is not pleasing, she's bad in the eyes of her master, and he does not designate her to himself, and he does not poder, he does not redeem her, he dare not sell her off to some foreign nation, for he has betrayed her. That's the pasuk. Listen to the Reishis Chachma quoting from the Zohar. When a man sells his daughter, who's the man? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As Bito, who's this daughter? Zu HaNeshama HaKadosha. This is the precious Neshama. La'ama. She's sold as an Amalios Ama Meshuberes Beinecha B'olam Hazeh. That this Neshama HaTahura is given to us, to B'nai Adam. It's meshuba to us and to our actions. We are able to harness the power of this neshama, but it's stuck to us. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baba Kasha Michem, I beg of you, please, b'shah shi'agiyah azman latzeis me'olam, when it's time to return to the neshama, to its holy abode, lo tzeitzei kitzeis ha'avadim, don't let this neshama return like a common slave. Shlo tzeitzei meluch leches, lo tzeitzei mitun efes b'chatoyim, don't let the neshama return dirtied and soiled with chait. Shetetze baschorin, she should leave as a baschorin, as a special person, zakanakia, pure. B'chdesh yismach bo rav yishtalach ba, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he can delight in this neshama. He can praise this neshama. Avolim ra'a b'nei adoneha. But if the neshama turns out to be not pleasing in the eyes of the Adon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, michluchleches b'tinuf haveros, right? The neshama is soiled. V'losir lefan of karayin is not returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as it should be. So woe is to that guf who loses that neshama forever, says the Zohar. Because when a person returns their neshama in a pure and pristine state, as it should be, so then it's lo ye'ada, then it's lo with a vav, to him that neshama is designated. HaKadosh Baruch Hu collects that neshama in and says, this neshama belongs to Moshe, this neshama belongs to Shmuel, this neshama belongs to Chaim, and I'm going to return that neshama, lo ye'ada. I'm going to turn the neshama to Chaim and to Shmuel. But if chas v'sholom, a person returns that neshama in a dirtied state, so then it's lo ye'ada with an aleph. That neshama will not return to the person. You do not go back. You're lost to that person, to that guf. What recourse does a person have? Vehefda. A person has to do tshuva, to be pulled in the neshama again. And he goes through the psukim v'chule, and I just jump to the end. Shim zocha ben adam, if a person is zocha, b'olam hazeh, in this world, the shomer sa neshama karoi, and he guards and protects that neshama as he should. Zeu ben adad mishah HaKadosh Baruch Hu rotze bo. That's a person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's a person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires. U'mishtabeach bo b'chol yom b'pamal yashalo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu praises that person in his heavenly abode, in his palace. Every day he praises the person. Re'u ben kadosh yeshli bo l'mazeh. He says, look at such a precious son that I have in this world. Kach v'kach hu osa, kach v'kach masav misukonim. How great are his deeds, how perfected they are. U'v'chol yom kora lehazu hu hiach nishmaso shel ploni b'ni. And every day he calls out, this is the neshama of my precious son. That's the image that we want to be a part of. I want that. I want that from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I want a Kadosh Baruch Hu to call me Bini. That's an image in our mind that we should want. We should want to cleave to. We should want to cleave to. And so I think that is the perhaps the pshat in the Gemara we started off with in the Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya didn't necessarily learn something new that he didn't know, but he had an image in his mind of who he became and who he was. She said to him, "You're nothing but a bag of hot air. You're nothing. You know what hot air is? It stinks. There's a stench to it, and it's stifling. It's so uncomfortable." And for a moment he saw, that's what I am. The totality of my life is just hot air. I'm uncomfortable in my own skin. I have nothing to show for myself. I stink. I'm putrid. It was an image that he was able to conjure up in his mind that so radically shifted his behavior and changed his life around. So how do we do this? How do we get there? How do we conjure up these lofty images of the Kuzari? How do we think these great thoughts? How do we say we want to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the sweetness of an Olam Haba, the sweetness of a Kesher to the Rabbonu Shel Olam? So you'll ask the Rosh Yeshiva, Mashkichim, who are here, ask them how you get there. I don't know how you get there, but perhaps a start, once again a start. Rav Simcha Zissel, the Alter Mikelm, helps us. And he quotes from David HaMelech in Tehillim. You know, the Pasuk says, Berov Sarapai Bikirbi, that if a person wants to feel the delights of the comfort of Kadosh Baruch Hu, then it's Berov Sarapai Bikirbi. You have to have multitude of thoughts over and over again. The comforts of Hashem, the comforts of Hashem. I have to think about what does that mean? Berov Sarapai, lots of conjuring up images of a Kadosh Baruch Hu comforting me, and then you can feel it. Then you can feel that comfort of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rav Simcha Zissel, a very strange Gemara, Mirtz Hashem will also read, Shabbos Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says there, Rabbi Eliezer is talking to Talmidim, and he says, Shuv Yom Echa Lefnei Misascha. Repent one day before the day you die. So Shaul of Talmidav, his Talmidim asked him, V'chi Adam Yodei Zayim Yomus? Do you know what day we're going to die? Do I know what day I'm going to die? I don't know. So said Rabbi Elazar to them, V'kol shekein yoshev hayom, so you repent today, return today, shama yomos lemachar, v'nimtza kol yomav b'shuva. Every day you'll repent, because every day could be the last day, and your whole life will be a life of tshuva. As for Simcha Zissel, it's a very strange Gemara. First of all, why did he pose it as such an interesting statement? Repent one day before you die. Oh. Just say straight out, there's a Yom HaDin. Yom HaDin, you always have to prepare. And also we have to remember, who are the Talmidim, Rabbi Eliezer? We're talking about the greats like Rabbi Akiva, the Gedolim of the Tanayim. We're not talking about lightweights. These people know there's a Yom HaDin. There's a Din V'cheshbon, you have to be prepared. What's going on there? Says Rav Simcha Zissel, the answer is because he wasn't giving them a yediyah, they didn't know. Yeah, they know there's a Yom HaDin. But it's not about knowing, it doesn't suffice. You can know something, but it has to be in your kishkas. It has to be deep down inside. It has to be an image in your mind that changes the way we act and react. And that's why he posed it in a funny way to engage them in the information, to get them thinking about it, to get them contemplating it, sitting on it a little bit. What does it mean every day? He wanted to engage them. The Chafetz Chaim has a beautiful mashal. The Chafetz Chaim says as follows. A bachur travels long distance from his home to learn in yeshiva. And he's there, successful, Baruch Hashem, for a long time. A day comes where he knows he has to return home for whatever reason. So he makes plans a few weeks ahead for his trip. And there's another student in the yeshiva also from his hometown. And that other student goes up to him and says, "I know you're going to go home in a couple of weeks. Please, this is very important. Take this letter. And as soon as you get home, please deliver this letter to my parents. It's very important." First bachur says, "Of course, it'd be my pleasure. I'd be happy to. No problem. Good." The next day, the bachur comes up to him again and says, "You know the letter I gave you yesterday?" "Sure, sure, I know the letter." "Please, please, you must. As soon as you get it, it's very important. You must give it to my parents right away." "Okay, sure, of course. I hear the urgency. Absolutely. I will take care of it." The next day, the Bacha comes up to him and says, please, when you get home, you know the letter I gave you? Yeah, I know the letter you gave. Please give it to my parents as soon as you get home. Yeah, I got it. I will give the letter to your parents. No problem. The next day, Nachamal, please give the letter. Rabbeinu Shalom, it'll take a Valium. I can't handle your anxiety. I'll give the letter to your parents. And he doesn't let up for 2 weeks straight. Finally, the Bacha gets on the train. His first thought is, oh, Baruch Hashem, I don't have to hear any more the reminders that I'll be done with that. His train arrives at the station. He gets to the town. And the first thing he sees in the town is utter chaos. People running in the hair all over the place. There's a fire in town. People are running away. Some people are charging in. It's just a total uproar. And his first thought is, I don't know. I'm join the chaos. Got to run. Go. I don't know. Help. Maybe not help. Run. That's his first thought. And then immediately seared in his mind, almost second nature, his second thought is, wait a second. Give the letter to my parents. And despite the upheaval, he's able to move forward and give the letter to his parents. Berov sarapai bikirbi, over and over again, the same image, it was seared in his mind. So despite what's going on, the craziness, he was able to follow through on the instructions. There's a beautiful story. Beautiful story they heard close to 20 years ago from Rabbi Krohn. It's about Rav Yaakov Galinsky, a very well-known Maggid in Eretz Yisrael. And he was a boisterous youngster. Hard for him to sit still, you know, sitting in cheder long hours, learning over and over. He was more getting up, moving around, sittering here and there. It didn't work so well for the cheder system. Maybe he had to go to a different cheder, so they think about moving him to someplace else. Hard to know how anything's going to change. Another cheder with the same system, the same sittering. Before he starts the new cheder, he meets with the Menahel. The Menahel says, before you begin, there's a shtiebel down the block. I want you to go to that shtiebel for a few moments and then come back. You know, his curiosity's piqued. He's a little more adventurous. Happy to go. He heads off down that block to the shtiebel. He opens up the door and it's dark inside. That's a little spooky. Ooh, even more exciting. Takes a step in to the dark room. And there on the far end of the room is an image of a person hunched over with a little flickering candle. And this person is repeating over and over and over themselves to himself out loud, chanting a Gemara in Erevin, Adaf Nundalit. Chatov ve'achol, chatov v'shtei. The alma dazli namine kibeilu ladami chatov ve'achol chatov v'shtei. The alma dazli namine kibeilu lidami chatov ve'achol, over and over and over again, and he's riveted to his spot. He's in a trance, listening to this image of this person grab and eat and grab and drink. This world is a wedding, it's a party, it's a feast. Feasts only last for so long. And then they're over. Chop now, chop a rind while you can. Over and over again. And he sits there for a while until he finally wakes up from his trance. And he walks back out of that shtiebel and he heads back to the Menahel and he says, I think I'm ready to learn now. I think I'm ready to learn now. Chop all I can. Chop all I can. Who was that image in the shtiebel? It was none other than the Stipler. The great Gaon, the Stipler, a model of discipline, a giant of a tzaddik, and yet he knew the way to continue growing lamaila lamaila is to have that image seared into your mind over and over again. Keep saying the same line. It's the only way we're going to begin to get there. To drive those images of greatness, of godless into our minds. That's where we have to go. That's where we have to go. When Yaakov leaves the house of his parents to head to Haran, so he has a dream. He has a dream of a sulam, v'rosho magin ha-shamayma, and the head of the sulam is in the clouds. And Malachim Olim V'yordim Bo, and we have angels that are going up and down. Lofty dreams Yaakov Avinu has. Lofty images. 20 years of living in Beis Lavan, Yaakov has another dream. and he's dreaming about Nikudim, Tluim Uvrudim, spotted and speckled and striped animals. He's dreaming about money, about wealth, about comforts, about luxuries. And in the dream, a Malach Hashem comes to him and says, it's time to head home. It's time to redream the dreams of the Sulam. It's time to redream the dreams of the Malachim going up and down. It's time to capture the old images. Mirtz Hashem, as we head into the Yamin Norayim, and we want to combat the images of the Yetzirah, we have to dream the dreams of the Kuzari. We have to dream the dreams of the Yaakov Avinu. We have to dream the dreams of the sweetness of being close to the Rabbonu Shel Olam, of the Shah Achas and Olam Haba. We have to dream the dreams of the Bas HaMelech, our neshama, that we returned it, the neshama Tzahorus, our Kosh Baruch Hu can call out about us. Bini, my son, what a beautiful neshama you returned to me. And we do this by thinking, by cogitating, by dwelling on thoughts of greatness, on thoughts of holiness, on thoughts of sweetness of being near the Rabbonu Shel Olam. And Mitzvah Hashem, all of us, in our own measure, will grow to be gedolim. We should all be zochet to exceed v'chsim atova. Thank you.